Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Vav Kama Daf Zayin. We left off daf Vav Amud Beis. Probably, let's call it, I don't know, two-thirds down the Amud. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. Yikes. 18 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landor in honor of his wife and children and Lila Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha Leah Shalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and captives. It's also sponsored by Chavi Khan, Lila Nishmas, Rabbi Solomon Khan on his Yartzeit, which is today, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Sponsored by Dr. Richard Lapshinsky, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Miriam Bas Rachel Yecheskel, whose Yartzeit is today, and her Neshama should have an Aliyah. And it's sponsored by the Shulman children for the Yartzeit of their mother, Linda Shulman, Leah Bat Ephraim, her neshama should have an aliyah as well. And we thank all of the sponsors very much for their sponsorship of the shiur. So today we are going to continue a discussion that we began yesterday. So maybe we'll explain the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva again today before we kick off. But we saw this fundamental machlokas, which is between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So we know that our Mishnah told us that if a person causes damage to somebody else, then the damager has to pay mimetav. He has to pay from the best of his field. The question is, whose best are we talking about? Is it mimetav sadeyu shel nizek, or is it mimetav sadeyu shel mazik? So we saw that Rabbi Yishmael said it was mimetav sadeyu shel nizek, and he learned that out from a gzeira shava, because when the Torah talks about whose field is damaged, obviously it's talking about the nizek's field. And therefore, when it says mimetav sadeyu, that you have to pay him with the metav of his field, the his modifies the nizek as well. The his refers to the nizek's field. Whereas Rabbi Kiva said, no, it's mimetav sadeyu shel mazik, that we have to pay from the choicest part of the mazik's field. And what we had said yesterday was that it appears that what Rabbi Shmuel is saying is that no matter what type of what part of the field, rather, or what type of produce in the field the shor damages, the mazik is going to have to pay mimetav sadeyu shel nizik, meaning there are different qualities of field. There could be a poor quality of field, there could be a high quality field. So it seemed initially, the Gemara thought, that what Rabbi Shmuel meant was that even if the shor damages a poor quality of field, the mazik would have to reimburse, let's say the shor damaged a row of a very poor quality row in the nizik's field. So the Gemara thought that what Rabbi Shmuel meant was that the mazik has to reimburse with a very high quality row in the nizik's field. And that doesn't make any sense, because you should never have to pay more than you damage. So what we wound up saying at the end of the shiur yesterday, probably didn't have time to explain it precisely enough because we were running out of time, was that we're not talking about, it's not a row for a row. It's not that if the shor damages a row in the nizik's field, then the mazik has to pay for a row to replace the row, regardless of whether the row was a good row of produce or a bad row of produce. What it means is we focus on how much value in damage, how much monetary damage the mazik costs. So let's say the mazik cost the nizik $100 of monetary damage. So the point is, when you're paying, you're not paying $100. Let's say you're paying in kind. So you're reimbursing by giving over produce. So when you reimburse by giving over produce, you have to give $100 worth of produce. But the question is, does it have to be the best produce of the nizik's field, or is it the best produce of the mazik's field? And again, you're never going to have to reimburse more than $100. The question is, what quality produce do you have to give in order to get to that $100 reimbursement? So that was the machlokas that we saw yesterday between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Today we're going to talk about the reason for the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva made a cryptic statement that we saw yesterday, that he said, no, that it has to be mimetav shadeyu shel mazik, that when the mazik reimburses the $100 of damage that he cost the nizik, he has to pay with produce that's the quality, not the equivalent of the nizik's best produce, but of his own best produce. And then we said, kal v'chomer lehektish, that it's a kal v'chomer to hektish. We don't know exactly what that means. The Gemara today is going to try to drill down on what exactly that means, kal v'chomer to hektish. We're then going to talk about an interesting discussion that relates to Maaser Ani, and why in the world are we talking about Maaser Ani in the middle of Nezikin? So good question, but the reason that we're going to talk about it is because we're going to discuss a situation where the value of the property fluctuates, where it goes up and down, like property always does in our time. So we're familiar with that. It's seasonal, it's locational, and we're going to talk about what happens when the value of the property fluctuates, whether you can lock the Nizik into accepting a lower value or a higher value for the property, and that conversation is going to take us pretty much to the end of the sugya, toward the bottom of Zion Amud Beis. So again, we left off 18 lines up from the bottom on Vav Amud Beis, My Taima de Rabbi Yishmael. The first word on the line is Akiva. So says the Gemara as follows, My Taima de Rabbi Yishmael. What's the reason for Rabbi Yishmael Shitu, who said that when the damager pays the damaged party, he pays me metav sadeyu shal nizik, that when he pays in produce, he has to pay with produce. That's the quality equivalent to the best produce that the nizik has in his field, says the Gemara, because nemar sade lamata v'nemar sade lamala. Because it says the word sade when the Torah is describing whose property is damaged, and it says the word sade when it describes the payment of the damage itself. So masad armor lamala denizik, afsad armor lamata denizik. Sorry, I reversed it. It says sad lamata, that's when the damager pays, venemar sad lamala, and that's when the damage occurs. Obviously, the damage is occurring in the field of the nizik. Therefore, when we're talking about the damager paying the damaged party, when it says mimetav sadeyu, it's also referring to the field of the nizik. So if you're paying $100 worth of produce and you're paying in kind, so you're paying with produce, the produce that you pay with has to be of the highest quality that the nizik has in his field. Rav Akiva, Meitav Sadeyu, Umeitav Karmo Yishalem, Teich to come a Shalem. No, when we say in the Pasuk, Meitav Sadeyu, Meitav Karmo Yishalem, that he has to pay with the best of his field, the Torah is referring to is the one who's paying. And the one who's paying is obviously the Mazik. And therefore, we will follow the mazik. So in other words, if he's paying $100, but he's paying in kind, he's paying with produce, so he has to pay with produce equal to the best quality that is in the mazik's field. So if you think about it, what's really happening here is that Rabbi Shmuel is learning Gzeira Shava. So he's learning Gzeira Shava that says sada sada, whereas Rabbi Kiva is following the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. That the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk is when it says Yishalem Meitav Sadeyu Yishalem. So the one who is paying is the one who's the quality of the produce is based on the one who's actually doing the paying. That's the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk Meisav Tadeo Meitav Karma Yishalem. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Shmuel, Vahani Gzeir Shava Vahani Kra. So even though Rabbi Shmuel seems to be resting his pshat on the Gzeir Shava, he doesn't appear to be following the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. The truth is, says the Gemara, sometimes he'll follow the Gzeir Shava, sometimes he will apply and he will follow the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. How does that work? So says the Gemara as follows, Ahani Gzeir Shava Kedekam Rinan. The Gzeir Shava he follows, like we said, because ordinarily we assess it on Meitav Karmo Shel Nizik, and we do that on the basis of the Gzeir Shava. And Ahani Kra, and sometimes we follow the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk, and we're going to assess based on the level of produce in the Mazik's field as follows. Kagon de Islay Lamazik, Edis Viziburis, where the Mazik has Edis and Ziburis, he has high quality land and low quality land. The Nizik has Edis, and he has good quality land. Viziburis de Mazik, Loshavya ki Edis de Nizik. And the ziburis of the mazik is not worth quite as much as the edis of the nizik. In other words, there's a lot of words here, but essentially what's happening is that the mazik damages the nizik. The nizik has a certain quality of field, and the top quality in the nizik's field is in between the value of the lower quality that the mazik has and the higher quality that the mazik has. So ordinarily, the default shita of Rabbi Yishmael is that we'll follow the Meitav Sadeyu Shal Nizik, so you would have to replace with produce equal to the Idis that the Nizik has. However, the Mishalim Lei Mimeitav Didei. In this situation, where the mazik is is going to replace the damaged produce with other produce, he can't exactly match up the produce, the value of the produce that the nizik has, because again, the high quality of the nizik is here, and the low quality of the mazik is here, and the high quality of the mazik is here. So the mazik is going to pay with his own produce. So he's either going to be paying with produce which is worth less than the produce that was damaged, or he's got to pay with produce that was worth more than the produce that was damaged. In other words, the base sheet of Rabbi Shmuel is, if the mazik had produce that was equal in value to the nizik's best produce, he would just pay with that, regardless of whether that's his best or his worst. But over here, the mazik doesn't have any produce that's equal in value to the nizik's best produce. He's got produce that's worth less, he's got produce that's worth more. So what do you do? Says Rabbi Shmuel, in that case, the mishalem lemi meitav didei, that the mazik has to pay with his own best produce. The lomotzi amarle taught gavi miziboris, that he cannot say to the mazik, to the nizik rather, oh, you're stuck, you're out of luck, you got to take from my worst produce. No, we level up and we make him pay from his best produce. Ela gavi mi meitav. However, he has to pay from the best. So that's the way in that regard. Rabbi Yishmael, sometimes when the mazik has produce which is equal to the value of the nizik's best produce, he's going to apply the gzera shava sada sada. When the mazik doesn't have produce that's exactly equal in value to the nizik's best, he has produce that's worth less, he has produce that's worth more, we're going to level up and we're going to make him pay, we're going to make the mazik pay from his own best produce. That, in that regard, he follows the pashup shot in the pasuk. The Rush wonders over here, what's the halacha? If the nizik has the best produce, which is worth like this, it's worth some value, and the mazik has three levels of produce. He has ziboris, which is worth less than the nizik's best. He has beinonis, which is worth more, and then he has edis, which is worth even more. So the question is, when we level up, are we leveling up one level or are we leveling up two levels? In other words, once the mazik cannot tell the nizik, oh, I'm going to pay you for my worst produce, do we automatically bump up to the mazik paying with his best produce, or do we let him level up to the middle? So the Rosh leaves that as a suffix. He thinks that whenever you level up, it's mistaber that you level up to edis. Okay, says the Gemara in Avaiter. So Rabbi Kiva had said that you pay mimetav sadeh shalmazik, and therefore lo ba kosav elaligvos unizakim in eidus. In other words, it's a chumrah that when you pay, you are going to have to pay the $100 with your best produce. You can't tell the nizik, oh, the produce that I damaged wasn't that great, or your produce isn't that great. They're going to pay you with out of season fruit or whatever it is. No, you got to pay with the best fruit that you have. So the kavachomer lahektish, and we said kavachomer to hektish. So my kavachomer lahektish. So what kind of kavachomer to hektish are we trying to draw? Again, remember, we're talking about nezikin, where Rishar walks into somebody else's field and damages that field. So ilem edenagach turid idan laturid the hektish. If we're talking about where a shor of where turid idan means our shor, but really what it means is a regular shor. It means a shor that is not hektish. If you're going to tell me that a shor of chulin gores a shor of hektish, so that can't be kal b'chomer lehektish, that you pay me edis, because shor re'eu om rachmana v'lo shor shal hektish. Because the pasuk actually says that you're obligated to pay for the hezek only if your shor damages another privately owned shor, but not if it damages a shor that belongs to, not if it damages a shor that belongs to hektish. Rashi points out that you are putter if your shor damages a shor shal hektish. You are also putter if your shor damages anything that belongs to hektish. For example, let's say there's a field that's hektish and your shor walks into a field and tramples it and ruins the produce. You also don't have to pay because you're obligated in nezikin only when you damage something which belongs to another private party and not something that belongs to hektish. Rashi then explains why, if this halacha applies to damaging anything that belongs to hektish, why we say shor shel hektish, why don't we talk about sada hektish? And he winds up saying that because by sada hektish at Yovel it goes out to the Kohanim, and therefore we can't really call it a sada hektish. All right, whatever, we don't have time to deal with that. Rashi, Tosfos also deals with this issue, but I want to make sure that we finish the daf. The punchline is that any time you cause damage to Hekdesh, you are not going to be to be obligated because of this Xeris HaKosov of Shor Re'eyu below Shor Shel Hekdesh. There's this concept of Ein Nezikin L'Gavoa. So you're not going to be chayiv in damage if you cause damage to Hekdesh. So when Rabbi Kiva says that the Mazik has to pay from his best property, and Kavachomer, if you're paying Hekdesh, you got to pay from the best property, what does that mean? Because the halacha is that if you damage Hekdesh, you don't have to pay anything. Forget about paying from the best, you don't have to pay anything. Ella Liomer Harei Alai Mana Labet HaKabayis. It's a guy who makes a pledge to the building fund. The Asi Gizbar Veshakel Me'idis, that if the Gizbar comes, if the collector comes and wants to force the pledgeor to redeem his pledge, to fulfill his pledge, then he collects from the Idis of the guy who made the pledge. Says the Gemara, why is that the case? Lo Yehei Ela Balchov. In that case, Hekdesh should only be like a Balchov. In other words, this situation is not like one where the guy caused damage to Hekdesh. It's a situation where the guy made a pledge to Tzedakah. He's now a Balchov. He's a debtor. So Hekdesh is the creditor of this guy. And he owes Hekdesh money. So if he owes Hekdesh money, says the Gemara, Balchov Bebeninis. The halacha is that a Balchov gets to collect from the Balchov gets to collect from Beninis. So why would it be that Hekdesh, that the Gizbar could force the guy to redeem the pledge with his best produce? He should only be able to force the guy to redeem his pledge with middle-level produce. Happens to be not quite Balchov Beninis. Midaraisa, the halacha is that Balchov is Beziburis. However, in order to encourage people to loan money to others, there was a gzeira of the Chachamim that the Balchov should be able to collect, that you could collect from a Balchov, rather, with Beninis, because if you were only able to collect from Ziburis, nobody would want to loan money to a borrower. But the point is that Hekdesh, in this case, it should be like a Balchov, because the guy owes money to Hekdesh. It's not a situation where he caused damage. So why does Hekdesh get to collect from Idis? Says the Gemara, V'chite masavar Rabbi Kiva kol balchov nami b'idis. And if you want to say maybe Rabbi Kiva holds, then any balchov gets to collect from idis. In other words, yeah, if you are collecting from your borrower, any lender who collects from a borrower gets to collect from idis. But then ikal mifrach mala balchov shekein yafa kocha b'nizakin. That tomer behektish ura kocha b'nizakin. Maybe the reason that the balchov gets to collect from idis is because this balchov, if he's a private party, if the lender is a private party, and the borrower shard damaged the lender, then the lender would be able to collect from the borrower's edis. So too, if he loans him money, he's able to collect from edis. But over here, we don't have that equivalence, because over here, if Hekdesh is damaged by the other person, Hekdesh doesn't get to collect anything. So why should Hektish's standing be improved in the case of a balchov? Says the Gemara, Li'olam denagach turah didan l'turah dehektish. No, really, we are talking about a situation where our shore gores the shore of Hekdesh. I thought you just told me that if our shore gores the shore of Hekdesh, you're not chayav to pay any nezek because it's a gzeiras hakosav of shor re'eyu v'lo shor shel hekdesh. Says the Gemara, we misunderstood what that means. Rabbi Kiva savalak Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. Rabbi Kiva holds like Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. The Tani, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, shor shel hekdesh shenogach shor shel hedyot potter. If a shore of Hekdesh gores a shore that's owned privately, the shore of Hekdesh is potter. Shor shel hedyot shenogach shor shel hekdesh bein tam beimuin meshalem nezek shalem. The shor shel hedyot, if it gores a shor shel hekdesh, whether the shore is a shor tam or whether the shore is a shor muad, it has to pay nezek shalem. So it turns out, says Rashi, that when the pasuk says shor re'eyu v'lo shor shel hekdesh, that means that the halacha of tam and muad, of chatzi nezek and then nezek shalem, only when the shore is a muad, that doesn't apply to hektish. In other words, at first we were saying that shor shel hekdesh, shor re'eyu v'lo shor shel hekdesh is a kula. If that your shore gores a shore of hekdesh, it's a kula, and that you don't have to pay hekdesh any damages. Now we're saying, no, it's a big chumrah, because the kula of that only paying chatzi nezek so long as the shore is a shore tam only applies to shor shel hedyot. It doesn't apply to a shor shel hekdesh, where you immediately from the first goring have to pay nezek shalem. Says the Gemara, but Hachi, Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Kiva, Mimai de Beidis de Nizek Viziboris, Demazik Pligi. How do we know that they're arguing about whether you pay mimetav sadeh shel nizik or mimetav kamar shel nizik, dilma dekuli alma b'denizik shaminan. Maybe everybody agrees that you value based on the best produce that the nizik has. And maybe they're only arguing about Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya and the Rabbanan, that Rabbi Kiva sabar like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. The Rabbi Kiva says, like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, that if your shore gores a shore of Hektish, you got to pay Nezek Shalem. Rabbi Shmuel sabar like Rabbanan, and Rabbi Shmuel holds like the Rabbanan, who says that if your shore damages a shore of Hektish, then you don't have to pay at all. In other words, how do you know that they're having a fundamental machlokas about Nezikin at all and the quality of the produce that you have to pay? Maybe they're arguing only in this limited case of Hektish, where your shor gores a shor of Hektish, are you chayev or not? Rabbi Shmuel says no, Rabbi Kiva says yes. Says the Gemara, you haven't been paying attention to anything that we've been saying. You can't interpret the machlokas like that. Im kein, ma lo ba akasav. But it's apparent from what we learned in the beginning of this year that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are arguing fundamentally in the meaning of mimetav sadeu umimetav karmo yishalem. That whereas Rabbi Shmuel interprets that pasuk to be talking about metav sadeu shal nizik because of the gzeirah shava sada sada, Rabbi Kiva said, no, you're misunderstanding the pasuk. You're not touching up the pasuk correctly. It means metav karmo shal mazik. V'yod, my kal v'chomer lehektish. And also, what does it mean, kal v'chomer to hektish? In other words, the only way you could have a kal v'chomer to hektish is if you're going to say that I'm machmir on you in the case of nezikin, then certainly I'm going to be machmir on you in the case of hektish, because we always have a more stringent view when it comes to hektish. We always hold hektish in very high esteem. So if you want to tell me that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shmuel that we're going to say mimetav karmel shol nizik, there's no chumrah. So how can I draw a kal v'chomer to hektish? And then says the Gemara, V'yod, Omer Ravashi, Tanya Behedya. We have a brisa that says expressly that they argue about whether it's metav karmer shal nizik or metav karmer shal mazik. Because it says, metav sadeya, metav karmer yishalei. Metav sadeya shal nizik or metav karmer shal nizik. Diver Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, metav sadeya shal mazik or metav karmer shal mazik. So here we have an express brisa that teaches me that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are in fact arguing about whether you pay mimetav sadeya shal nizik or mimetav karmer shal mazik, that Rabbi Yishmael says that you evaluate based on the best produce of the nizik. Rabbi Kiva says that you evaluate based on the best produce of the mazik, and certainly if you cause damage to hektish, you are going to have to pay mimetav karmo shel, the one who causes damages to hektish, mimetav karmo shel mazik. Okay, says the Gemara, now vayter at the two dots. Ramile Abaya LaRava. So Abaya asks Rava as follows. Ksiv Metav Sadeyu, Metav Karma Yishalem. It says that Metav Sadeyu, Metav Karma Yishalem, you got to pay from the best of the best. Metav in Midiach Rini Lo, it's Mashma that you pay only from Idis, only from the best value, from the highest value of produce. Vatanya, but we have another brisa that says Yoshiv. The pasuk says Balabor Yishalem, Kesef Yoshiv Lebalav, that he returns money to the Baal Vamesi alone. In other words, if a person digs a pit and another person's animal falls into the pit, then the owner of the pit gets to keep the carcass of the animal, but he has to pay the owner of the animal for the value of the animal that was damaged. But the language of Yashiv is Mashma L'Rabos Shavakesef. Vafilu Subin, it's Mashma Shavakesef, anything of value, even bran. So how can it be, and bran is something which is obviously not, it's not even a high quality type of food, it's something that's not, it's not terribly valuable. So the Abaya's question to Rava is that there appears to be a stiram sukkim. On the one hand, there's a pasuk that tells me metav sadeyu, that you got to pay from the best of the best. On the other hand, there's a pasuk that tells me kesef yashiv lebalav, you could even pay with garbage if you want, you could pay with bran if you want. So which one is it? Can I get away with paying with bran, or do I need to pay from the best of the best? Says the Gemara, Lo kasha kan midaito kan bal karcho. It depends. Are you willing to pay or are you not willing to pay? If you're willing to pay midas and we don't have to initiate a collection action in order to get you to pay, then you could pay from anything. If you want to pay with bran, you want to pay with shava kesef, you could pay with shava kesef. If, however, it's bal karcho, if you're unwilling to be a mensch and you're unwilling to pay without the damaged party starting a collection action against you, if you're going to force him to take you to Beis Din in order to pay, then we're going to penalize you and we're going to say that you uh, that you have to pay mi meitav sadeyu, that you're going to have to pay from the best of the from the best of the best. So Amar Ula Bereid the Rabbi Loi Dekanami, that the pasuk is also Raya Dechsev Yishalem, because it says Meitav Sadeyu Meitav Karmo Yishalem Baal Karcho, which is Mashma that you're paying, Baal Karcho. So Amar Le Abaya says Abaya, no, Yishalem does not mean that you're paying Baal Karcho. Miksiv Yishulam, does it say Yishulam? Yishulam, which is more passive, would imply that you're being forced to pay, says Rashi, Al Yidei Acherim, because Beis Din is the one who's forcing you to pay because the other guy initiated a collection action. But Yishalem is Mashma just the opposite. Yishalem is not Mashma that you're paying Baal Karcho. Yishalem is mashma on your own volition. You are actively paying. Yishulam is the one where you're more passive and you're only paying because Beis Din is forcing you to pay. Yishalem siv midaito mashma. It says mishalem. So you can't say that the only time you have to pay edis is when Beis Din forces you to pay via collection action, because the pasuk that talks about paying with edis says yishalem mimeitav sadeh yishalem, which is mashma on his own volition, voluntarily. So says the Gemara, El Amar Abaya, how do we resolve the stira? Whereas on the one hand, it appears that you have to pay from the best of the best. On the other hand, it appears that you have to pay, that you can get away with paying even with Shava Kesef, even with bran or something which is not terribly valuable. So says the Gemara, El Amar Abaya Kedemar, that this brisa goes like Rabba, that the answer depends on the shita of Rabba. The Tanya we learn as follows: Hare shahayu lo batim sados ukramim. If a person has batim sados ukramim, he has a house, he has fields, he has vineyards, and what the Gemara doesn't say is that those things are worth 200 zuz. Now the halacha is as follows. In years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, instead of giving Maaser Sheni, a person has to give Maaser Ani. So a person has to give Maaser to poor people, to Aniyim. What is the halacha in terms of who constitutes a poor person? So the halacha is that anybody who has less than $200 of assets is considered to be an Ani. Anybody who has more than $200 in value, his net worth is more than $200, he is not able to collect Maaser Ani. Now the halacha happens to be, now, let's say a person's net worth is only $199, so it's not that he's only able to collect $1 to bring him up to a 200 zuz valuation. If his net worth is less than 200 zuz, he could collect even 1,000 zuz of Maaser Sheni at one time. Not more than 1,000, but the halacha is that he's able to collect a lot of Maaser Sheni. Then he has to stop collecting Maaser Sheni. When his net worth descends below $200 again, then he could collect more Maaser Sheni. So that's the halacha. So the question is that this guy has property which is worth 200, which is worth 200 zuz. And ve'ena motze lemochron, and he is not able to sell them. So in other words, his net worth is, he has a lot of real estate, but he's not liquid, right? So in our terminology, so he's not liquid. So he has this real estate, but he can't sell it. And first of all, I should mention, Tosva says parenthetically, when we talk about selling real estate in order to make yourself liquid, to avoid taking Maaser Ani, Tosva says that's only by like vacation or investment properties. If this is your primary residence, we are never going to force you to sell your primary residence in order to make yourself liquid to avoid taking Maaser Ani. We're talking about if you have a vacation home, you got to sell your summer home, or you got to sell your place in Surfside before you start taking Maaser Ani. So good. So the guy has property worth $200, Beina Motzi Lamochron, but he can't sell them. So Machilin also Maaser Ani Ad Mechta. So what we're able to do is we're able to give him Maaser Ani up until half of the value of the karka, meaning the karka is worth 200 zuz. So we're going to assume that he has $100, because you could always sell your property for half of the value, says Rashi. And we're going to let him take up to $100 in Maaser Sheni. Vahaviba mar hechadami. And Rabba asks, what case are we talking about? What's the situation here? E huzala rasa de kuli alma vidide namizal bahadaya afilu tuminami lis file. If his property declined in value and everybody else's property declined in value, then he's an ani, so he should be able to collect as much miser ani as he wants. As we said, if your net worth is less than $200, you could collect even $1,000 of miser ani at one time. So why are we limiting him to half the value of his property? In other words, he's considered an ani for all purposes, and he should be able to collect whatever he wants. Says Gemara, Ela du'ukar arasa de kuli alma. No, everybody else's property went up in value. Vididei aidi da'ayil v'nafik azuze zol are. But this guy, because everybody knew that the seller was in dire straits, the seller was scrounging around for money, he was scurrying around for money, people knew that they could take advantage of him, and therefore it's due to his own personal circumstances that his property didn't increase in value. It's because of his own personal circumstances that his property actually decreased in value. So flipping over to Zayin Amabez, but in that case, Afilu Purta Nami Lo Lisfu. In that case, he shouldn't be able to collect anything because, says Rashi, he's not an ani. It's, you know, it's one thing that people are willing to take advantage of him, but the fact is, this guy has real property that's worth $200. And the halach is that if your net worth is $200 or more, you're not considered to be an ani. So says the Gemara, V'yamar Mar, Allah, and Mar says on this, and Rabbah says on this, Lo Tzricha. No, here's the situation. The Biyomad Nisan Yikra Arasa, that in Nisan, the property value goes up. Why does the property value go up? Because Rashi says that a field is always plowable in the summer and you harvest it in the fall. And therefore, in the spring, the field is going to be worth much more because if you buy it now, you'll be able to plant it and harvest it immediately. Whereas in the winter, you already had the planting, you already had the harvesting, you're going to have to wait a whole other cycle before you could finally plant it and you could finally harvest it. Tosfa says that might apply to a field. What about a house? Why do the prices of housing, why do house prices fluctuate? And Tosfa basically says everybody knows the best time to sell a house is the spring and the summer, right? You don't try to put it on the market in the winter. And Tosfa says the point is that in the spring and the summer, everybody's renting houses. And because everybody's renting houses, you can earn rental income off the house. Therefore, the property value goes up. In the winter, when nobody wants to rent houses because the roads were all muddy, nobody traveled anywhere, the property value goes down. So the situation is, the Biyoma the Nisan, Yikra Rasa. In the spring, property values go up. Biyoma the Tishrei, Zala Rasa. And in the fall, property values go down. The Kuliyama Natriad Nisan, Umazavni. Anybody who's a willing seller, but who has flexibility, will wait until the spring and then he'll put his house on the market. He doesn't want to take a lower value in the fall because he's not a forced seller. However, Vahai, Hol, Vitzra, Chalezuze, Zavin, Gadahashta, that, and this guy, however, because he's trapped for cash, he needs money, he needs to make himself liquid, he's going to have to sell even in the fall. Now, the halacha is, Ad Palga, Urchila Mezal, Tfei Lav Urchila Mezal, that the halacha is, that the housing value will only go down up to 50% of its initial worth. It will never go down more than 50% of its initial worth. So in other words, it's not that everybody's value went up, everybody's value went down. It's seasonal fluctuation. So for our purposes, he's considered an ani because he's forced to sell now. How much miser can he collect if his house is worth $200 ordinarily in the spring? We're going to assume that now he could sell his house for $100, therefore he's able to collect up to $100 a miser sheni. Why are we talking about all of this? Because v'chanami gabe nezikin, and so too by nezikin. And through this, we can explain the seeming contradiction between do you have to pay from Idis or can you pay even with Subin, can you pay even with Bran? So how do we explain that? As follows. Dine be'idis, that the din is that the Nizik can collect from Idis. V'i amarle iu havli beinanis tvei purta. Now, again, remember, what's happening is you're paying, let's say, $100, but you're paying it in produce. So if you are paying $100 in very high value produce, you're not getting a lot because it's only a little bit of a produce. It's a little bit of produce that equals $100. Whereas if you're paying the $100 in lower value produce, you're getting more land, you're getting more produce because you need to give more in order to get to that $100 level. So let's say the Nizik says, you know what, you're going to pay me in real property. I don't want your tiny little speck of real property worth $100. I want your lower grade property, but I want more of it. So says the Gemara, Amar Le, Ishakla Kedina Shakal Kedahashta. So let's say we're talking about where the guy, where they're having this conversation in the fall, where property value is lower. So in other words, in order to give the Nizak property worth $100, you're going to have to give him more property because we're at a time right now where the property values are depressed. So the Mazik is allowed to say, listen, if you want to collect from Idis, which is what you were entitled to, I'm going to give you $100 worth of Idis based on today's property value, meaning because the property value is lower, I'm going to have to give you more property to make up to $100. V'lo shakol kiyokor de lakameh. But if you insist on Beinonis, if you want me to give you more land because you want to take Beinonis, then I'm going to assess the Beinonis that I'm going to give you based on the increased property value like it will be in the spring. So you think you're going to cash in and you're going to get a ton of property because right now the value is depressed. If you want to deviate from the regular grade of property that you ought to take and you want the Beinonis, I have the ability to value it based on the higher value in the spring. So Maskifla Ravacha Bar Yaakov Im Kain Harata Kochon Shal Nizokin Eitzol Beinonis V'Ziburis. But in that case, it doesn't make sense. It means that if the Nizok wants to take Beinonis or Ziburis, a lower grade property, he's going to have the lower hand. He's going to be in a position of weakness. But Amar Mimeta V'Atamar Beinonis V'Ziburis Nami Lo. The whole construct here by Nizikin is that we're supposed to put the power in the hands of the Nizik, that he could even collect from Idis. And now we're saying, but if he wants to collect from Beinonis or Ziburis, we're going to give him the lower hand. Says the Gemara, Ela Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov, Ikaludmuye Lebal Chov Madmina Leh. No. If you want to interpret this, you can interpret it like a balchov. So balchov, dine de beninis. A balchov, the din is that the lender gets to collect from beninis. Vi amarle havli ziburis tfe porta. But if the balchov says to the borrower, you know what, instead of giving me beninis worth $100 that you owe me, give me ziburis, but give me more karka, because you got to give me more karka in order to make up for the $100 value. Amarle ishaklet kedinach shakol kadasha. But the borrower could say, listen, and again, they're having this conversation in the fall where the property value is a little bit lower. The Balchov could say, listen, if you want to accept from Beinonis, then I'm going to give you based on today's property value, meaning because the property value is depressed, I'm going to have to give you more property in order to make up for the $100. Vilo shakol ki yukra delakameh. However, if you insist on taking Ziburis, then I'm going to assess based on the higher value in the spring, and I'm going to have to give you less karka. In that case, nobody's going to want to loan money because when they want to collect from Ziburis, they're going to have the lower hand. Because the lender's going to say, if I have $100 right now in my hand, if I hadn't loaned you money and I wanted to buy inferior quality land, I could have bought a lot of land because the property value is so low. But now that I loaned you $100, in order to get my $100 back, if I want to take it back in land, I'm going to have to base it on the higher price in the spring. That doesn't make any sense. So says the Gemara. So Ella Amar Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika Iika Ledmuye. If you could compare this to anything, it's like Ksuvas Isha Madminan. You could compare it to Ksuvas Isha. The Ksuvas Isha Dina Biziburis, because the woman collects her Ksuva from Ziburis, from the lowest grade property. The Amar Lei Havli Beinonis Batsir Porta. But if she says, you know what, I don't want to collect from Ziburis, I don't want to collect from low property, I want to collect from Beinonis, and I'll take a little bit less karka. Amar Lo, you could say to her as follows, listen, Ishakla Kedinach Shakal, if you want to collect from Ziburis like your din is, then I'll give you, based on today's value, and I'll give you a lot more property, Kedahashta. V'ilo Shakli Kiyokra Delakame. However, if you insist on taking Beinonis, if you want to level up, I'll give you Beinonis, but I'm only going to give you based on the higher value that the Beinonis will be in the spring. Of course, the Baal can also say, I don't want to give you Beinonis at all, but if he's willing, he could say, I'm going to make you take the higher value. Mikol Malkam Kasha. However, the point is that there is a Kasha. How do I resolve the fact that it says Meitav Sadeyu and also Kesef Yashiv, which is Mashma that I could pay even with bran? Samarava Kol Diyami Meitav Leitav Leit. No, what it means is whatever you're giving, you got to give from the best quality. In other words, you could give, it's Lav Davke Idus of Karka, you could pay with Shava Kesef also, you could pay with bran, but if you're going to pay with bran, you got to give the guy the best bran that you have. But it says Meitav Sadeyu. Meitav Sadeyu means you got to pay dafka with karka, not that you're paying with fruit or with bran or whatever. No. Meitav Sadeyu, the focus on the word Meitav. Any metaltalin is metav. Why? Because you could take it anywhere and you could sell it where its value is high. If the value of this thing is high somewhere else in New Jersey, you could go to New Jersey and you could sell it there. You could go to any other location. It's transportable. Labar me ara. Land, real estate, obviously is not transportable. Because the point is, you got to pay meitav sadeu to make sure that people want to take the land off of his hands, that he can easily transact with that land. In other words, produce, you don't have to get produce, everything is meitav, because it's always going to be worth a lot, either here or somewhere else. Land, you can't move land here anywhere else. So the only way we can ensure that you'll be able to dispose of this land easily is if you get meitav, and that's why by land, dafka, it's always got to be meitav. All other metaltalin inherently, however, has a din of meitav. We'll stop here. We'll pick up the two dots. Boy, mine, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, tomorrow. God willing, hope everybody has a wonderful day.